Rube Goldberg machines have always fascinated me. Now, maybe it was the hours I spent playing that classic 1993 game, The Incredible Machine, or countless sessions playing the tabletop game Mousetrap, but I now can't look away from YouTube videos with these kinds of contraptions being made in people's backyards. The magic is the insignificant action that kicks off something truly astonishing for me. And unlike dominoes, each of the elements is a little bit different and brings about an unpredictable way of acting on its own. And so this week, we're going to be revisiting a scripture that we saw a little while ago, but we're going to come at it from a little bit different angle. This is our second meal in our Breaking Bread with Jesus series, and this one is a giant picnic. And I think you'll see that there's this kind of chain reaction that happens. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that's found in all four of our gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today, we're going to explore one of the reasons why this story is so powerful. And so, to set the stage for us, to lay the foundation, Jesus and the disciples are just trying to find some time to themselves after a season of really tough ministry. The disciples have returned home from being sent out in pairs to heal and share the teachings of their rabbi Jesus. In the meantime, Jesus had been continuing to teach and to heal throughout the area and had just gotten word that his cousin John was beheaded by Herod. Not a great time, right? And so it's fair to say that they needed a mental health day. And so Jesus took a trip from his home base ministry center of Capernaum to Bethsaida, which happened to be the hometown of Simon Peter, Andrew, and Philip, three of his disciples. And it was likely a comfortable place for them to relax and get away because they knew the area. This might have been about a 4 or 5 mile trip by boat for Jesus and the disciples. And in those days, the boat probably would have stuck near the shoreline, so it would have been really easy and visible to those on the shore to see and to follow if they wanted. And so, lo and behold, when our party gets to their destination, they find crowds who will not leave Jesus and the disciples alone. Rather than sending them home, though, Jesus recognizes that the crowd has a need. And in verse 13, he says to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." That's where the story shifts. And many of us know the story from here. All of a sudden, a couple of fish and loaves turn into a great feast, and there is plenty left over. Yeah, this is a meager offering, but it was what was available. And God has this habit of taking what we have to offer, no matter how meager it is, and turning it up to 11. There is no doubt that what happened here was because of God. Full stop. God was moving in, among, and through this picnic. And as we think about this, let's figure out like how this could have happened. Like, did the bread and fish just continue to break off like in half and replicate? Or did the initial generosity of others spark something inside of what they had so that others shared their food that they had packed earlier with the rest of the group too? What do you think? Maybe message down in the chat. Or better yet, let's ask the question that often gets asked here in the way that God sees the world. Why can't it be both? I fully believe that something happened at the hand of Jesus that was miraculous. I also find it hard to believe that no one thought to bring any kind of food. Like, real talk, my family packs snacks for a 10-minute car ride when we leave the house. So 4 or 5 miles, really? Our scripture makes it clear, though, that there were more than a few leftovers, that everyone was satisfied and they ate their fill. So something unexplainable happened. And Perhaps part of the beauty of this meal was the generosity of one that sparked the generosity of many. This Rube Goldberg kind of chain reaction can happen in our hearts too. I call this movement the movement of the Holy Spirit, when we take that cue that we see, that spark, and we act on it so it magnifies. Now, we've all heard stories of these kind of pay it forward events or the drive-through difference, where you pay for the meal for the car behind you in the drive-through line. And these stories of chain reactions can last hundreds of people. And while generosity like this is great, I would encourage you not to forget that not only did these people in our scripture today share what they had, but they also shared the meal together. Neighbors, strangers, maybe even those that they have a disagreement with. When we share the meal together, we are able to then find that generosity of offering what we have, and the result is reconciliation. Sharing meals and life together is the bedrock of true community that Jesus points to. This beautiful picnic that was staged by a community longing to be with Jesus, sparked by trusting God with a meager offering and fueled by generosity, changes the scene. And so as we think about that, I want to read for you a passage from the prophet Isaiah about what true worship looks like, and tell me that that's not happening in this scene right here. So this is from Isaiah chapter 58. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned, lighten the burden of those who work for you, let the oppressed go free, and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry, and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your God will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call on the Lord, when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply and move the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, give you water when you are dry, and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, an ever-flowing spring. This, for Isaiah, is what generous worship looks like. It also sounds really amazing, especially the being watered when I'm dry. Have you ever been spiritually dry? Man. So for the early church, this feeding of the 5,000 then would have pointed them and alluded to the upper room and the Last Supper. This in part could have been why all four Gospels included this story. Jesus offered himself to model generous grace so that we can see and extend this same generosity that brings about reconciliation to the world. I want to say that again because this is critically important. Jesus offered himself to model generous grace so that we could see and extend this same generosity that brings about reconciliation to the rest of the world. So what does this kind of generosity look like today? I want to tell you two quick stories, and as I do, think about the things that you have to offer up as a trusted offering to God. Like, what are the things that you bring to this Rube Goldberg experiment that is the church in the world, okay? The first story I want to tell you is about a woman named Madeline, who was always working hard to get food to people and meet their needs. Madeline was one of those church grandmothers that would always just be there helping people, and she never saw serving as optional. One Sunday, she rolled up in her Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra that had a trailer hitch on the back, and that trailer was carrying a couch and she had 50-pound bags of potatoes in her trunk. In confession time, my friend and I, when we were in middle school or so, were the first young people that caught her eye, and she directed us to go into the church service and tell our parents that we were delivering a couch and food to a family in need. There was no wiggle room for these two kids that were trying to skip the church service. And when we got to the home, we didn't just give them the couch and some food, but Madeline talked with this family and made space for us to get to know them too. Madeline, on a daily basis, offered what she had to meet the physical needs of a community and be a balm of reconciliation. Madeline's legacy now lives on through an emergency relief fund that helps people in Frederick County and the surrounding areas. It's powerful, and her legacy remains vibrant to this day. Now, another person that I want to let you know about who has offered all that he had and God used was Gary Hicks. A talented musician and pastor, Gary's fingerprints continue to shape the communities he served. Gary offered his gifts of hospitality and genuine affection for every single person. Gary met countless people where they were and brought hope and connection to their doorsteps. The DNA that Gary brought to this faith community can still be felt in every single one of our campuses and ministries of this church. He is continuing to be a blessing to us. But Madeline and Gary knew the joy of this true worship that God desires. And sometimes it takes the shape of a hillside picnic or talking to a couple of middle school kids who were skipping a church service or living out our call to serve and to plant churches. And maybe it's helping be a church community that is described as the land of misfit Christians, like Gary continually did. So this week, think about how you might take up the call of Jesus to come to the common table that we all share and offer what you have, entrusting that to God. This might be food or the ability to fix a car. It could be music or the gift of navigating systems that are so complicated for helping people find vaccines. It was this call to bring what we have and trust God to work in, among, and through that offering that changed the world of the early church and those saints who we have told stories about today and who have those folks who have already finished that race. And now the baton has been passed to us. Now it is our chance to allow God to move in powerful ways and allow us to be partners in generosity, sparking change and hope and connection for those who may have lost it, and to bring about reconciliation in a world that is hurting. Friends, there is powerful imagery of worship and reconciliation and God's hope of restoration in this story of a 5,000 person picnic, that we might come to know the way that this reflects the kingdom of God here and now, and we get to be part of it. My prayer this week is that we can all partner together to be these hope bringers that allow us to say yes to a picnic when others would just send the crowds away. May we go in peace. Amen.